Back to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton.
I'm really excited to be here.
I'm glad you're excited, because I am too.
Yeah. The thing is, though, is that it's always kind of weird not to have somebody here with us.
Yeah.
Now, we've been doing a few more episodes where it's just me and you.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that a lot at all in the past, because neither one of us are necessarily... I don't know. We didn't come here to be radio personalities.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Through an interesting series of events, we found ourselves here. And, you know, I'm glad, because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is nice to have a third voice in. But sometimes when we don't, we end up still having really good conversations.
I think so. I think it turns out great. And not just because I'm here.
Yeah. So, guys, if my voice sounds really scratchy or different or whatever, I'm getting over a cold kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's one of those, like, weird
it's
seasonal
mean you're, like, back
me.
And forth. Because yeah. Last week it was me struggling with my little pile of cough drops. So if y'all heard me, like, muffled, like, sounded like something was in my mouth.
Rappers in the background.
It was my Hall's cough drop. I try to, like, turn my mic off when I'm going to open one, but it doesn't always.
Right.
Because I'm in the same room.
Yeah.
It sometimes still picks up.
Right. Well, you got to do what you got to do to keep the show going. So I'm prepared. You brought me some Hall's cough drops here.
I got
so
your back.
Hopefully I won't need them. I don't feel like I will, but if I do, they're here. So thank you. We are going to be talking about a subject. Again, so Share Truth, Apply Scripture is we try to specify topics that are for a younger Christian audience. So like high school to about mid-30s. But this topic is a bit more general, a bit more broad, and it applies to everyone, really.
Yeah. I think it's a good discussion because I think it's something, I mean, it is pretty broad, and you may look and go, that's kind of like, duh.
Yeah.
But people are not talking about it. They're not talking to their kids. So you have our age range.
Mm-hmm.
We always say it kind of starts at like 18, the kids going off to college or into career. Some of them are not going to college. Mm-hmm. And, you don't have enough just sitting down and talking about the basics anymore and, like, the basics of, in this discussion, what's right and what's wrong and why.
Yeah. Yeah. So, to reference what we're talking about here, a survey conducted by the Pew Research Center 1 year ago in 2022, it showed that most Americans say it's not necessary to believe in God to be moral.
Mm-hmm.
And the survey said among those who consider religious unimportant, so these are people who are not interested in religion, 92% of people believe that it is possible to be moral without believing in God, compared to 51% of those for whom religion is important. So only 51%, if I'm reading that right, only 51% of those who say religion is important say it's important to believe in God to be moral, whatever that means to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing to them. Now, there are ones that I think most people, a majority of humans, kind of get behind the no murder thing.
Yeah.
To a degree. Then you start hitting things like abortion, which being Christians, we believe 100% that every child, no matter like at the beginning, at conception, is created by God and has the
right.
to live.
Mm-hmm.
Just as much as anybody else. We believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are those who are anti-murdering adults, but they're not anti-killing babies in the womb.
Yeah. So there are, and we'll talk about those, there are these universal ideas.
Yeah.
No matter what culture you find yourself in, certain things are just basically bad things that you're not allowed to do in these cultures.
But back on that, just while we're on that, though, there I do see a very, like, a huge rise in people who consider themselves secular pro-life. There are a lot of people that are pro-life, but they're not coming at it from any kind of religious standpoint. Now, I like, so the survey is saying that there's this number of Americans who don't think it's necessary to believe in God to be moral.
Right.
I don't think it's necessarily that you believe in God, but God right. is a part of it. Whether you believe yes. or not, your yeah. belief has nothing to do yes. with the existence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Your belief in God does not make him not exist. Right. He doesn't exist yeah. because you believe or not.
Exactly. And I think that's a good point to clarify for this conversation is that
I just said the same thing like five times, but no, it's five good. Different ways.
I do I'm that. Trying to, I repeat
I'm
a
trying
lot.
To drill yeah. it in though.
but that's a good point to bring up because what we're not saying is that only people who believe in God,
mm-hmm.
specifically the Christian God, the God of the Bible, only those people are able to do anything good yeah. or recognize the difference between good and evil. Obviously, that's not true. Obviously, yes, an atheist can make decisions in their day-to-day lives that are good decisions, that, you know, they can choose not to kill someone. You know, they can choose to help the poor. They can give money to the needy. They can do good things. They can even have conservative values
yeah.
without believing in God.
I see a number of those, yeah. too. Mm-hmm. There's a huge number growing in the conservative, the gay conservative.
Yeah, this is interesting.
they live a homosexual lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't believe in yes. putting in other people's faces. Mm-hmm. They don't enjoy watching other people who live the lifestyle they live
yeah.
flaunting it at people, trying to drag children into it. So they're very anti that.
Yes.
They believe that you can live, they believe that you can have those relationships
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing wrong with that. But in every other aspect, they consider themselves conservative.
Yeah. And I think that just kind of goes to show us that no one group of people is what they would call a monolith. Like,
yeah.
you can we like to put whole groups of people into a basket and say, oh, they all, you know, meet these criteria. And that's just not true. Individual humans are individual humans. They're going to have their own lives, their own experiences, and they're going to do their own thing. So, yeah, we're not saying we're kind of saying that, yeah, these people are right. It isn't necessary to believe in God or be religious to make moral decisions mm-hmm. and make the right decision when you come to a moral dilemma. But what we are saying, ooh, yeah. my microphone, what we are saying is that God is the foundation for morality.
Yes.
Yeah. So
without him,
mm-hmm.
there would be no standard for morality.
Exactly.
And whether you believe in him or not, mm-hmm. he's the one that created the whole idea of, you know, he tells you what's right and what's wrong, and whether you believe in him,
mm.
if you're following these morals, what yeah. we consider the correct moral things to do, then you're following and abiding by God's law in those ways.
Yeah, yeah. So, and when you do find people who are strangers to the God of the Bible and the teachings of, you know, Christianity, who are in some aspects of their lives aligning with those teachings or aligning with that morality, we can attribute that to the grace of God. We can mm-hmm. say there's thing in theology called common grace. This is grace that is given to all men, whether they are Christian or not. It's just the kindness of God shown to them that's undeserved. It's a way that God shows love to his creation.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we aren't all as evil as we could be.
Yeah.
You know, that's why society, as bad as people want to say things are, that's why we're not just constantly tearing each other apart.
We could be running amok yes. in a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Now, don't make the mistake of saying of thinking that we do not see the bad.
No, absolutely.
Because we do. Mm-hmm. We 100% know that yeah. Romans 3:23
yeah.
is a real deal. Mm-hmm. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's including us sitting yes. here behind this mic.
Yes.
That's including everybody in this building that we work with,
mm-hmm.
The people on the streets. But we are, you know, we have given our lives over to Christ,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully we are all striving daily to abide by
yeah.
his law and try to be more like him.
Yeah. yeah.
So we do see it. We're not turning mm-hmm. a blind eye.
Yeah, but and even in those situations where, yeah, there is evil, and there are cultures around the world where evil is so prevalent, it's almost the defining feature, but even in those cultures, it still isn't evil hasn't been unleashed to the point where God has just, there is no grace anymore. Like God has completely abandoned the people. That happens sometimes. Actually, it's happened in the Bible a few times. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see the flood. You know, the flood was, but still you see God's grace in that he rescued Noah from that.
And so, continued humanity.
And continued humanity. So that's something we can take great comfort in, and we should be thanking God every day for his grace that we are sensitive in one way or another, even if we aren't Christians. We are sensitive to the idea of there is a higher standard, there's a higher morality, even if we have a completely wrong idea of what that is, it's still there and it still helps keeps us from just dissolving into complete disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, so does
I'm looking at some of your questions here, actually. Yeah. I think we just answered number one pretty good, so we'll just move on. But your second one, is it arrogant to claim one's own moral standards are superior to those of another culture?
Mm.
I've looked at that, and I've thought about it, and my brain is trying to wrap my head around, is it arrogant?
Mm.
And I'm going to go... my moral standards are not mine, they're God's.
Right.
And I'm just trying to abide by his standards, what he has for me. And I realize that the only thing different between me and any other non-believing sinner is that I do believe and try to cling to Christ.
Yes.
And that is the only difference in me and them. I don't think it's arrogant because it's not my moral standards.
Mm.
If I was just left on my own to my own moral standards, and I know that I have a past where I have done things that are wrong. So obviously, if it wasn't for Christ, my moral standards would have me going down some dark path.
Right.
So I'm I guess to claim your own moral standards, just yours alone, would be arrogant.
That's a great distinction right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think... I can imagine myself as a teenager, I had a very strict idea of what I thought was right and wrong. And of course, I completely, fit that standard in my own eyes because it was my own standard. Like, this wasn't anything that I was pulling from the scriptures. I had this list of rules that was like, if you want to be a good person, these are the things you do, these are the things you don't do. And anyone who differs from that, they're just one of those bad people.
Yeah.
And it wasn't biblical at all. Like, I had some just silly ideas of things to do or not to do that were not founded in the scripture. They were just my own personal preference.
Yeah.
And that's something that we need to look out for, is that our standard that we are holding to is actually the standard that the Bible preaches, and not something that we've come up with our own. Now, having your own personal preferences and having your own ideas is not necessarily a bad thing. Say for instance, a certain type of music, makes you stumble in some way, then maybe it's a good idea for you not to listen to it. But if it doesn't make someone else over here stumble in that same way, then, I would argue that the scripture says they're free to listen to it.
I'm going to say types of music. There are some music that are chock full of things that, depending on like the explicit songs,
right,
I would say no Christian should be listening to.
Yeah.
And I remember being a teenager, preteen, and some of the songs that I used to listen to, and sometimes those lyrics still in my head.
Yeah.
I still hear them I can still hear them. And it's like, because drives its way in. So maybe, but as far as types of music, I don't think if you're listening to rock music, I don't think the fact that it's rock music,
that's good,
is wrong.
Yeah, because literally when I was younger, I heard people saying that you can't listen to music with drums in it, because drums encourage rebellion. And, that's the absolute worst thing you could ever be. And so...
my sister was a drummer in the band, in the high school band.
She was one of those bad people.
She
then,
was driving... I'm texting
me.
Her right now. I'm going to tell her. You were rebelling your snare drum.
So to adopt, these personal preferences that might be legitimate to your subjective experience, I guess.
Yeah.
And these are obviously outside of the teachings of the Bible. To have those for yourself, not necessarily a bad thing, but to then prescribe them for everyone else and then to put them on the same level as biblical teaching, that's wrong and that's arrogant.
Well, like I knew, as far as that goes, I've known people who it was their own personal belief that they shouldn't do certain things like makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I've known someone who did that. Like, they didn't wear makeup.
Yeah.
And she didn't do any of that kind of stuff. And she did not have a problem with me wearing makeup, but she just knew that she was trying to keep herself from becoming vain. And she could, and it was her own personal, like, God had put that on her heart that she should not do certain things because, and that for whatever reason, but she didn't project that onto me and to other people. And because I wear makeup doesn't mean that I'm some vain person. She just thought for herself. So it's that kind of thing. That's just one example.
Yeah. So moving on to kind of the next point that I have here, this was an interesting one. Does scripture provide a complete guide to righteous living today? So when you open the Bible, do you see a 100% exhaustive, complete list of instructions for day-to-day life in modern times? Is that what the Bible is?
I don't think it has like a list of rules like, here's your rules for watching TV. Mm-hmm. Here's your rules for the things that did not exist in the time of the Bible being written. But I do think God does lay out through different stories. Mm-hmm. There's enough context clues to the way, you know, to your behavior that those standards, though the technology and things that we have today didn't exist, the standard should be applied to everything that you do.
That's good. Yeah. So, that's what I think what I'm trying to say here is that the Bible, while it's not exhaustive in that you're not going to open it up to Hosea and see a passage on how to deal with social media addiction. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to happen. But you will see principles laid out in the Bible that will tell you, okay, you're on social media. You find yourself having problems with it. Here are these principles. Here's who God is. Here's who he says he is. And his standard for living, are you matching that standard in this area of your life?
Well, God tells you how to handle situations when you stumble.
Yeah.
And that's all things. You know, it's better to, didn't he say it's better to pluck your eye out than, you know, if your eye offends you?
Yeah.
It's better to cut your hand off if your hand offends you, you know, than to cast it. That's pretty harsh.
Yeah.
So if you are, and I think you could apply this, so like if you're on some sort of social media and you find that you're becoming addicted or maybe you're seeing videos that you should not be watching and you find yourself like kind of falling into those things, which, you know, like I'm on social media and sometimes I'll find funny videos and share them with my friends and we laugh, but like, so I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But if you find like I'm staying up late at night and then I'm starting to lose focus during the day because I'm scrolling through, you know, delete it.
Yeah.
Go and delete the app. It's better to delete it than to continue to allow yourself to suffer in your life. And you're like, I'm watching TikTok or I'm watching Instagram Reels or I'm doing this instead of reading the word because I'd rather do that. And, like, I find that I've watched these videos for 3 hours and I've not been in the scripture. In the scripture. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. And I think something, too, when we talk about the standard that the Bible gives us and of Christian teaching and, like, the to-dos and the not-to-dos, the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots, a lot of times I feel like, and this was my attitude growing up a while, was that I felt very restricted. There was like, oh, wow, there's more things that I should not do than there are that I'm allowed to do. So I felt like you can imagine, you know, the Bible actually uses the sheep as the example of a Christian. So I'll use it. You can imagine a sheep in a very small pen in the middle of this huge pasture, you know, and that was the paradigm in my mind that I had for, you know, the standard that the Bible had was like, you stay in this little spot. This is what you're allowed to do. This little spot that you're allowed to have, and then the rest of it is off limits. And one day when, you know, Christ comes and returns, all of that stuff that's off limits is just going to disappear, and you're still going to be left in this little pen right here. And that's the good stuff. And I've come to realize that actually it's kind of the inverse of that, right? So it's more like there's this wide open pasture, and there's a little, you know, pen off to the side.
Drawn to the little pen.
Yeah, and we get keep it. Sin promises, it tells us that it has so much for us. You know, it just is going to make us so free. It's the opposite. Sin is not freedom, it's slavery. Following Christ is freedom. So we need to flip that picture around our minds. We're not these little sheep, you know, in this tight little, you know, pen over here, not allowed to do anything. No, it's the opposite. God is saying, hey, you're free to live, you know, you're free from the guilt and the power of sin. You don't have to do that anymore. You're free to live unto the Lord. There's a lot of freedom there. And then there's this little place over here that is off limits because it's bad, because it's against the Lord, and it's slavery over there.
Don't it makes you think back of the Garden of Eden, right?
Yeah.
That one tree, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it just, you know, you see it, and there's something about humanity getting pulled to the one thing we're not supposed to do, supposed to have, and you really want that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good point.
Yeah. How would we talk a little bit about having standards that are not, you know, necessarily addressed in the Bible, and just, you know, those are matters of conscience. Maybe that's something you talk to your pastor about, but you certainly don't, you're not arrogant about it. You don't prescribe them and shove them on other people as if that is the word of God. But how would we talk to a Christian who's struggling with an issue that's not really addressed in the scripture? And I could probably think of a few more worldview issues. So something that I pay attention to a lot these days in the news, and I don't pay attention to the news hardly, but this is something
it's really sad.
This is something that's just fascinating to me, is the rise of artificial intelligence in technology.
Oh, yeah, AI.
Oh, my gosh. If you want to divide a room, just say the word AI, and everybody just rushes to the opposite ends of the spectrum.
I will say, like, I think the robots are going to take over one day. You know this.
welcome our robot over
when
now.
You know me, like... Like, every time I ask Alexa a question, I'm always like, thank you, because I'm making friends.
Uh-huh.
Because I want her to hear that thank you when she takes form and comes
right.
out. Anyways.
Anyway, but...
that's just a joke.
Yeah,
move
yeah.
on.
Anyway, I bring that up to be an example of, here's an issue. It is not... Okay, some people might disagree with me. I think that it would be very, very few people would disagree with me on this. But it is not addressed in the scripture. The idea of artificial intelligence specifically.
I think all things, this is my statement, I believe all things that we have on earth can be used for good and for evil.
Yes.
I think so AI obviously can be used for evil.
Yes.
There are people telling stories of how, you know, people are using AI, mm-hmm. to, like, taking their photos.
Mm-hmm.
And I do say, be careful with what you post online.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But people taking their photos.
I'm more scared of the humans, though, than the robots.
And using AI to create images of things that did not happen and putting them out there.
Yeah.
Or using AI to recreate voices of people, of loved ones. So they get phone calls and they think it's from a loved one who has been kidnapped, and they think they're. I've seen that where a woman
has told
a story.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that video. I've seen a couple different videos of people saying, like, they got that phone call.
Yeah.
And it was their being told, like, their child is in trouble, they need help, and it was their voice.
Yeah.
And one woman said she had just that knowledge that she needed to hang up and call her child, and she did, and her child was fine.
Yeah.
Her teenager or college age, I can't remember.
Yeah.
So obviously AI can be used for evil.
Yes.
But I think AI can be used for good.
Used for good. Well, I mean, Paul told the Christians, I can't ever remember the references, but he told a church that Christians need to be as meek as doves and as cunning as serpents. And we got the meek as doves part down, most of us, you know, sometimes we struggle with that, but we're not cunning as serpents. I think having a healthy spoonful of cynicism and not just believing everything we read, see, or get calls from is a good idea these days. Just have a filter in your mind where you're like, hey, I don't just automatically trust.
But you
things.
don't live under that. Don't live under a negative attitude all the time where you think, you know, everything is bad.
No,
either.
Don't do that. But anyway, so I bring that up. So there are things that are not specifically addressed in scripture, but they do have moral, ethical implications.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring up questions in our minds as to, like, well, now I have no idea where to place this, you know, in how the world works. And what's the right answer? What's the right application for this thing? Or am I allowed to engage here? Or how do I engage this thing? There are things that are just not addressed in the scripture. I think personally that if you have you have sufficient knowledge from the scripture to address most any issue. But if you're still left with questions at the end of the day, please pray about it. You know, please pray about it. Seek counsel from other Christians around you. And just trust the Lord that he will make it clear. I don't think that God wants us to live in ignorance as to what is right and what is wrong. And I think that obviously he said that if we ask, he will give us the wisdom that we need. And so we need to put that into practice when we come to these questions that are not as clear and definitely not not addressed specifically in the scripture or explicitly in the scripture. We need to be doing a little bit more of that work and trusting that the Lord will give us that wisdom in time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to not have all the answers right away.
Yeah. I want to jump down real quick. We have like another minute left. I want to jump down to your number 12. And this is one I think a lot of people who are non-believers or even like have trouble with. Are moral failings evidence that God's moral law is unrealistic for flawed humans? And I think a lot of people look at scripture and the laws and the commands that God gives us and think they're unfair. Because there's no way a human can meet that standard. That is the point of the gospel.
That's great.
That you alone in your humanity will never be able to measure up to God's standards, and that you need Christ. If you can meet God's standards on your own, we would not have needed Christ. So that is the God. So I wanted to just say that because so that's the thing, like, no, you will never meet God's standards alone on your own because we are human. But he still sent his son to die for you. He still gives you an opportunity, a chance to live for him and accept that gift. So I'm just going to say that, like, this, like, people who think that God's high standards are unfair and that's a sign that God is mean or whatever, it is not. It is a showing that even though his standards are that high and then you will never meet them, he still will accept you.
Amen. Amen. Well, with that, I think we'll just end the episode. So thanks for listening. And until next week, guys, continue to share truth and apply scripture.